Hey man, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh,
Dale just stabbed me with his guitar. It's going to take me a minute. Fortunately, I was well cushioned. Did you feel that? I didn't give on that at all. Is it? Wow. Whew. Yeah. That hurt. Like, that was you know when you run into somebody and you just don't expect it? Like in the hallway at your house, just like you round a corner and you just slam right into somebody. That was that moment we had. I'm realizing at this moment that's the first time I've ever gone to that side, I guess, after Dale prays, and we got to work that out. That really hurt. Some of you are like, I've never seen that in church. Just keep coming back. You'll be amazed. I honestly felt like there's a little bit of pressure building because we have had a couple of videos that we've made lately. And just to kind of discourage you for a moment, we don't have another video today. Yeah, I know. But we've made a couple of videos just kind of having some fun lately just to have fun. And last week, if you weren't here, Dale went on vacation last week, and I had a mild emotional distressing week. And so I expressed that through the art form of making a video. And a lot of people have asked me, are you going to post that online? No, I'm not. Because stuff online never goes away. And at some point, somebody's going to call and say, hey, you know, you have a chance to maybe speak to, you know, 5,000 people, you know, tomorrow. Can you send us some of your work? And they're going to Google my name, and that video is going to show up. So, no, that will not go online. If you would like to see it again, you can, you know, schedule an appointment with me. We'll sit near my computer, and I'll be glad to show that to you. But other than that, no. But I am going to be out of town for a couple of days this week with my dad. And so there you go, Dale. Challenge has been issued. Next Sunday, maybe we'll have a little something there. But did want to thank a few people, especially those that showed up yesterday for the women's breakfast, the car wash, all that stuff. I used to be a youth pastor, and at those car washes, you make a lot of decisions. You gotta get a lot of things set up, and you gotta check on a lot of things and stuff like that. Yesterday, I was just a parent of a kid going to camp, and I found out when you're just a parent of a kid going to camp, you wash a lot more cars than you do as a youth pastor. So for some of you, especially those of you that if God has led you to own a white vehicle and live in Brown Summit where our bugs are just a little bigger than bugs other parts of the United States, God bless you for coming by yesterday. My heart is more endeared to you today than it was yesterday about this time. So, but we had a great day. Thank you so much for the youth that worked so hard. They did a great job. I mean, they worked and worked and worked. It was awesome. Just an opportunity for them to get out there and just bless their church and everything and be part of the community coming by. So thank you so much for that. I was talking to Coach Lippard. He's the head football coach at Northeast Guilford, and talking to his wife Amanda just for a few moments. Today they are going to have some Boston butts that they're cooking and are going to be ready for purchase. You can go over to the football field over there at their school if you'd like to purchase one of those as a fundraiser towards their program for $30. They're over there right now, in fact. Don't leave. You can't leave yet. But after the service, you can leave and go over there. And I know that they would appreciate it. Those kind of fundraisers are hard because you have to buy a lot of stuff up front. You have to prepare it, and you have to trust that you get out word well enough and people are going to show up. So if you have a chance this afternoon, if you've got a cookout or something coming up, you can you know, even after they're cooked, you can keep those for later. They're really good, so we would appreciate it. I know they would appreciate it if you stopped out there. Great staff. I know around here in a lot of our high schools, having a chance to meet coaches is a great thing because coaches get a lot of time with players, a lot of their evenings, a lot of their weekends, a lot of their mornings, and coaches influence high school students and middle school students. We are blessed in this area at several high schools to have some really godly people in positions of leadership. And I appreciate I've had a chance to be around Coach Lippard some, and I appreciate the testimony he has and Amanda has as a family as they do ministry there with that team. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 24. It is Baptism Sunday today. So I am not going to preach as long as I typically do. Amen? Yeah. Because one of the things about Baptism Sunday that I really enjoy here is that we are able to work with the people that are being baptized, just spend a few moments really just in conversation with them. We just happen to record that conversation on camera. And then when we do that, we're able to take some of their comments and just kind of put those together so you can hear from them their decision to follow Jesus Christ as Savior, their commitment to that. You're able to hear from them just a little bit about what God's already doing in their heart and their lives. So we are really excited to be able to show those, and those are better. I could string a few of those together, and that would be way better than any message that I could just preach sometimes, because those are personal stories. And we all as people connect when we hear personal stories, right? When we hear the evidence in somebody's life, real evidence of what God's done, that's something that we connect with. So we're going to be able to share in that in just a few minutes, and we're going to be doing our baptism. After we see each of those individuals' videos, we'll be doing our baptism over here, and so we're here to celebrate. Our theme for baptism, whether we keep this theme after this year or not, but our theme for baptism this year, you'll see everybody that's getting baptized wearing one of these shirts that says, "I have decided." I don't know what the lights make this shirt look like today. This is blue. Our lights kind of change the color of your outfit. I actually wear the same shirt every Sunday. It's just the lights make it look like it's a different color each week when you come in. So this is a blue shirt, and they'll be wearing those. And because really, baptism isn't salvation. I don't know what everybody's church background is in here, but salvation is a decision to follow Jesus. It is a response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from that response, the Bible gives us this thing of baptism to follow Jesus in. Now, if you haven't been in church much and you just kind of describe baptism to somebody who's never heard of it before, it's a little tough to describe. They probably wonder, why do you go to church and just dive underwater publicly? But baptism is a physical illustration of what Jesus did for us and the commitment we've made to Him. Just like Jesus died and was buried, he didn't stay buried. He came back alive, having paid for our sin and having conquered death and winning. Just he was won. That's what he did. And when he came back alive, that's the guarantee, the promise that we have, that we can have new life in him. And Jesus was baptized. So we have to remember that being a Christian is being a Jesus follower. Jesus was baptized, so we follow Jesus in the way he was baptized. He was baptized by John, his cousin, and he was baptized underwater. He was baptized by submersion. So we do that here, and it's just a great day. I love Baptism Sunday because it's just something about I have to really try to contain myself. Y'all might not have known, but sometimes I have some emotional issues and a little bit of hyperactive disorder and stuff like that. But when somebody comes back out of the water, that's just worth celebrating. So when we do this, if you sit there and just watch it, and you're just kind of numb to the whole thing and you're boring, somebody beside you is going to celebrate in a way that's going to scare you, and you deserve it, okay? So we're going to clap, and we're going to celebrate with each of these individuals as they follow Jesus in baptism, because as a church, there should be no place as a Christian that you should go and get more encouragement like you get with fellow believers. And that's what we want to be for people. So we're gonna be doing that in a few minutes. I did tell you we're going to be in Joshua chapter 24. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the journey of our life. We've been talking about how our life is not so much about destinations that we arrive at, but what God does in the steps that we take every day. You've probably heard the statement made that life is nothing but a series of decisions. And you don't have to get very old to sit there and just kind of get still and think about your life. And think about what's gone on in a few years prior, and start looking at what have I decided, what choice have I made, and based on that choice, what was the result of that choice? What was the consequence of it? What was the next decision that I was faced with after that? So when we talk about decisions, we really are talking about the daily life that we live in all the time. I'll be honest with you, I don't know about you, but as an adult, on vacation, I like to just simplify my vacation to the point to where I don't have to make any decisions, right? Sometimes on vacation, I'll just take one pair of swimming trunks just so I don't have to choose, right? Because it's easier. When you don't make decisions, in fact, I heard a leadership conference not long ago, and one of the things that they said was, they said some of the greatest leaders that we see publicly are people that do little things like speakers that only own a certain number of suits or whatever that is, just because they don't confuse their life with any more decisions than they have to, because decisions stress us out. They weigh us down. It's some days it's kind of a burden that we feel like we carry. Well, Joshua had a pretty involved life in Scripture. If you've ever studied the life of Joshua, you know a lot of these details. If you've never studied Joshua, if you've really never looked at his life in Scripture, I would encourage you to really study that. Sometimes as Christians, we tend to just kind of, you know, get in a comfort zone in the New Testament, but God is God in both Testaments, Old and New. Jesus can clearly be seen throughout the Old Testament. The Old Testament is worth studying. It's one of the clearest pictures of who God is. And sometimes he just says, hey, here's who I am. This is me. This is what I'm like. This is how I think and how I feel. Joshua experienced so much of it. In his lifetime alone, just in a few kind of highlights as we think about this guy, you know, he was there as the children of Israel began this wandering in the wilderness, having just crossed the Red Sea on dry land, sent out to scout out a land that God had promised them. Joshua was one of two people that came back with a really positive report. He was one of the ones that said, you know what, does it look like it's a big deal? Yes. Does it look like it's going to be scary maybe a little bit to keep following God? Yes. Does it look like something we've never seen before? Absolutely. But he said, you know what, if God wants us to go there, then we just simply need to go. But he was only two of ten. He was in 20%. You ever feel like you're in that 20%? You're really trying to get something done. You want to see God do something, and you feel like 80% of your life is fighting against it. He was in the 20%. Well, the children of Israel stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. They wandered around. Last week we talked about how this middle ground, everybody that was in here in this middle ground represented the children of Israel in the wilderness, that period of life where they just struggled. They grew. Some people, unfortunately, had to die off. They were not willing to move where God wanted them to move, and they had to go through that time of spiritual cleansing and cleansing of people. And then they found themselves at this place where God told Joshua, he said, look, he said, just like I've ever been with Moses, the predecessor you watched for so many years, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you. He said over and over what? Be strong and courageous. He did not want Joshua to operate with a spirit of fear. He wanted Joshua to be bold in what he did, and he just kept reassuring him over and over and over again of who he wanted to be in his life. So they do that. The Jordan River, he crossed on dry land. It was high because it was harvest time. It was water rushing by, and God didn't stop it for just a small width. God stopped it cities away. You know, it had to be an odd thing to not be with this nation of Israel as they were crossing this body of water, to just be upstream or downstream and go, something happened. there were no beavers or woodchucks that like just jumped in there and just did that on the spot. That had to be kind of an odd thing. And to get word about what God was doing had to be pretty awesome. After Joshua crossed this area, he went through some amazing things. The Battle at Jericho, if you've ever read that story. They marched around walls. They didn't rush in. God wanted to teach him the lesson that he said, I can fight battles far greater than what you can fight. I can do more for you than you can do for yourself. And I'm willing to. I'm willing to go ahead of you. I'm willing to teach you before you reach that moment that you can't handle. And the walls, as the song says, came tumbling down. You know, there was another time they were in a battle against this nation of Ai, and there was some sin amongst them, and God had to deal with that sin before they could go in and have victory there. It was just a reminder to Joshua that God can do more when sin is out of our life than he can do when sin is in our life. You know, sin is a natural barrier between our communication with God. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we foolishly believe that because we're saved, we got forgiveness for everything behind us and also kind of a free pass to go ahead of us. We're accountable for every sin that we commit. God just shows us and tells us how we can have forgiveness for those. One of my favorite stories about Joshua was when he's going into battle against the Amorites. And he kind of has this declaration. It's always people call it a prayer. I don't know if it's a prayer or just a proclamation or a declaration, but it's between Joshua and God. And as they're in battle, they didn't have lights to battle by. When night was going to fall, they were limited in what they can do. And Joshua wanted to see the victory won for God and won for his people so passionately that as he talked to God, he said, God, that you would just stop the sun and make this day last until you see the victory. And God did it. I don't know about you, but I mean, and he, as he just prays this out loud, sometimes I think we're, sometimes, have you ever been scared to pray for something? Just like a little nervous, like, should I pray for this? Or if I pray for this and it doesn't happen, then am I going to look foolish? Like, do I pray for healing now or do I not pray for healing? Like, is cancer something that God really heals or not? Or what do we do? Sometimes I just think we forget that, just quite simply, that God already knows, as Scripture says, God already knows what's on our heart. So He wants us to call out to Him as we pray and pray for whatever is going to bring God glory. But the Bible is also clear that, that prayer really affects the heart of God, and God does things. And in that prayer, you read that and you kind of end with this thought of, God, if I don't pray it, if I don't pray boldly for what you can do and how you can get honor, what can I miss out on? A prayer that we never pray doesn't get answered. You ever thought of that? Kind of throwing that one out there too. I don't even know if that made sense. Maybe that was too kind of out there for this morning. But it was. But a prayer that never gets prayed never gets answered. He does all this. This is his life. They reach the land that God promised them. And at the end of his life, Joshua, I don't know. I think a little bit, as you get older, is anybody, as you've gotten older, you would admit that you've gotten a little bit less patient? Just hands up. Anybody gotten more patient? Oh, that's a spiritual gift. Yep, all five of you. Six. We're keeping all y'all, because for the rest of us, I had a birthday yesterday, and we all have them, okay? We all have them. Nobody gets scared. It's like, whoa, he was born? Yeah, I wasn't created. I've got a belly button. If you never really thought that, never mind. We'll get to that later. If that made no sense to you, we'll come back to that. But even yesterday I thought, you know, I'm out there washing cars, and I'm realizing it's just harder to get down lower to get the bottom of a fender and stuff like that. And I just found myself, you know, sometimes I just find myself, I think God is wanting me to be more patient than I sometimes am. And in how I communicate, sometimes I just want to say, like, you know, grab one of my kids and kind of shake them. And, like, it's time for you to make a decision, son. It's what you have to do now. And Joshua, I think, kind of out of a little bit of maybe frustration, maybe a whole lot of passion, a whole lot of conviction because of what God had done in his life, got to this place in chapter 24 where he didn't really give the option for a decision. He didn't really give an option for a decision. He brought them to a place to where they had to choose. And he phrased it in a way to where he made it clear, according to what God's Word says, that a choice has to be made. It's like this. You know, when I would do something really foolish when I was younger, one of my grandfathers would ask me, he says, son, are you stupid or do you not care? When I did something foolish, he just brought me to the edge of having to make a decision. I was like, well, I really don't want to say that I'm not intelligent. And I really don't want to say that I don't care, because that sounds really bad, that I just don't care about what I just did. So I kind of had to weigh in the balance, what would I rather be, the person that just didn't care or the person that owns up to just being unintelligent? But he brought me to a place of decision. And in the way God allowed Joshua to communicate right here, he allows him to be a leader and be inspired by God's Word to the point of really being able to articulate this thing to where people drew in to where they had to make a decision. In chapter 24, verse 14, he says this, now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors that they worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living now. But as for me and my household, and this is probably up in a lot of our homes, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. See, one of the greatest things I think about leadership that Joshua shows, and this doesn't just come from a position of a leader in a church, but for every Christian. Sometimes we do have to step back for a second and say, before we really step up on any level of soapbox that we want to jump on, we need to make sure that our feet are firm enough on the commitment and the decision for Jesus Christ that we've made. Because ultimately and truly, we can present the gospel to someone. We can present the gospel in a way that it is so clear and so simple and seems like someone would just step forward and say, yes, I will follow Jesus. But ultimately, all we are presenters of the perfect Word of God. We individually have to make the decision for ourselves whom we're going to serve, whom we're going to follow. What decision are we going to make for Jesus Christ? If you're a parent, your decision with Jesus Christ is the only thing that you can influence. You cannot force one of your kids to get saved. And as parents, one of the most damaging things that we can do, now listen to me, that we can do as parents is get so emotionally charged. And it's hard because these are our babies. But we cannot get so emotionally charged that we lead them into a decision because they want to please us. Because it's not just kids, we're people pleasers. That's why sometimes, if you ever just look for one style of invitation here at the church, we won't hold to just one style of invitation. But we're going to err on the side of asking someone to step forward or step out of a door and go for counseling, go to talk to somebody, to pray with them. Because a decision for Jesus Christ, we're not here, we want to celebrate all those decisions because we want that to be kind of our culture here at our church. We want to celebrate decisions for Jesus Christ because there's a party going on to heaven when somebody gets saved, so we might as well have a good time too. However, we aren't called to come up with a number of people that make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. That's not wrong if you put a number out there, because every soul is important. But quite frankly, in ministry, we can create whatever number we want to if we ask people to respond in certain ways, especially low committal ways of response. Put a hand up real fast, put it down. You can count those hands. You could count 40 a week if you want to. You could phrase it a certain way that kind of makes it maybe not quite as clear. Just ask people, do you want to follow Jesus? Well, absolutely, I'll raise my hand. But that's not a real decision to get saved. And see, Joshua knew that a relationship with God, following God, was more than a casual decision. You know, he called him out. He said, look, follow God. Serve Him in all faithfulness. Don't lack in any area. He said, but if that's really just too hard, If that seems undesirable, maybe we could say it this way. If your desire would take you in a different direction than to follow Jesus, do that. See how that goes. Because Joshua says, look, if you don't want to follow God, you can follow the gods that you saw in Egypt. You can follow the ones that the Amorites are promoting right now. Basically, what Joshua was saying is, you know what? Just pick one. Because other than the God, the one true God, everything else is kind of the same. When Paul was preaching one time that in Rome, they actually had a statue there that was inscribed to be the statue to the unknown God. They had a fill-in-the-blank God. I mean, so their culture was basically this. They set up all these. I mean, there was a god to this, a god to this, a god to this. And somewhere in the stress of not serving, you'll do some crazy things when you're not serving God. And as they set all this stuff up, they had a meeting at some point. They're drinking coffee or whatever and just saying, you know what? They're looking around. They're like, man, we got a lot of gods here. And then somebody was in the back. Somebody. Probably a guy with a personality a lot like me. What if you missed one? Just to start the conversation going, right? So they were like, oh, man, we might have missed one. Well, what did we miss a god of? Well, could it be this? Could it be, you know what? And then the leader stepped forward. You know what? Let's just do a statue to a just-in-case god to kind of cover all the ones that we might not know about. And we laugh. We laugh at that because I'm phrasing it that way. But when you're searching for something in directions that are opposite God, in my life, when I have searched for something, when I've desired something sinful, and it was not what God wanted for me, I've made some crazy decisions that don't make sense. It's like that statue. So this is how Joshua proposes this. He just says, look, you know, pick one. He says, but for me and my household, the place that I control decisions, my life and the life that I live in front of my family, I've made my decision. I'm going to follow God. Well, here's the response of the people. Yeah, you can clap for that. That's awesome, man. That's the decision we're going to do. Verse 16 says this, though. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt." See, but what we're not reading, prior to verse 14, Joshua gives a chronicle of all that God had brought them through. From Abraham, who was living in a place that nobody was looking for God, and God called him out and just said, "Just trust me, follow me." From that point going all the way forward, when they followed God or turned from God, followed God, turned from God. And Joshua just presented a case for God's faithfulness. So after all that, that's probably it is what they said. "Far be it from us." It says that he is that God, the Lord our God himself, who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. You know, there's a lot of points in life where if we look at our life, I say this sometimes, God does not want our lives to lack for evidence that he's real. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's through the most difficult circumstances that we see God the most clearly. Through some of the most hurt, through loss, through a lot of stuff like that. But it's also through those circumstances that other people see God the most clearly in us. You know, in Corinthians, Paul talks about this illustration of this clay jar with a light in it. I actually used this at a funeral service that I preached at yesterday. You know, the Corinthians were known for making cheap products. So they made these clay pots that were cracked up and broken and thin. But people really wanted to buy them because when you put a light inside of them, more light would shine out of them. It's kind of the one time you wanted the cheap product. They exported a lot of these things. Paul used that as an example. He said, that's who we are. We're broken people that when we're honest and open about our brokenness, the light of Jesus Christ can shine more brightly out from us. And right here, this is Joshua's thing. He's like, look, we're a bunch of imperfect people. God shined from us just through our existence, through the fact that we're here today, is testimony that God is real and he loves us. Amen. Then Joshua hard sells it. Before I went into ministry, I sold flooring. I was a carpet salesman, right? You got a problem with your floors? I can help you. I don't sell it anymore, but I know a lot about it. And it was just something about being a carpet salesman, right? Rug hustler, whatever you want to call us. We don't judge. We just come into your home to try to make you happy. And sometimes, you know, I remember you had somebody and they were there and you would have some, and I did talk to them and they're like, "I want that right there." And I'm going, and I'd sit down and say, "That is a piece of garbage. Are you kidding me? You don't want that. I don't care how much you want to spend. I just know you don't want that. You can get something for the same price that's not that. Trust me, I've seen this a lot." Sometimes you kind of had to get to that moment where you're like, you know, do you want to hard sell somebody? That's why I love going into places that want to sell me something. I just want to push their button so they just try to hard sell me. They don't realize I'm the tightest dude in North America. Right? And I'm going in, "I ain't buying." Joshua almost hard sells it right here. Listen to this. Joshua says this to him. I mean, he is saying, "Choose today. Choose today." And then he says this. But the people said, Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins." Now, he doesn't mean that God would not forgive a sin. What he's saying here is that most of the time, the children of Israel would do this. They would fall into a habit of sin, and they would live in a way like they wanted God to just kind of look over it. God will forgive sin when repentance is what we bring to him. God isn't up there going, "That's all right, you just keep it up, keep sinning, I'm good." It's a repentant heart. Repentance means turn from sin. And when we turn from sin, God wants to continue that path with us and move us away from it. That's a hard thing to say because the sins in my life that I've struggled with, I have lacked repentance. And I've contently stayed in those sins. And that's where we find ourselves stuck so many times. Joshua, really, it sounds like he's almost trying to tell them that they can't do it. That they cannot do this. That's not what Joshua's heart is. What he's trying to communicate to him is this. God is jealous. He wants all of you So if you're if in this decision process, you're thinking you're going to kind of go halves in with God, that's not what God is looking for. God's not looking for emotional decisions. He's not looking for any of that. He's looking for commitment and decisions. Covenant is what they would, the word that they would have used. A firm promise that they would keep. He says, look, he said, just so you know going in, God is going to be jealous of you, your heart, your life, everything. It says, if you forsake him, forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end to you after he has been good to you. See, this was the cycle of the children of Israel. Now, what do we know to be true about God? God offers forgiveness and reconciliation and love. Are there consequences to our sin? Yes. But remember, we have to remind ourselves, myself included, these are consequences that we bring about because of our decisions to sin. But even Joshua in this says, look, I still can't deny that God is so good that even in your sin, there's still going to be a level of goodness that you're going to experience from God. This is the people's response. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. You know, the song that we sing a lot during baptism, I have these memories as being a kid and a teenager. These camps that we're asking teenagers and kids to go off to. I remember before, you know, back in the dark ages, before cool people like we have on stage and stuff like that, when it was just a room where somebody just could kind of get something across on a piano or a keyboard or something, and it was just a lot of volume with voices. You know, we would sing I Have Decided. There was a pastor that I actually talked to last week, and he was one of my camp pastors when I was young. And I remember he would stop that song, and he would say, look, he said, you've sung I Have Decided. He said, I get it. You've made a decision. But he said, I want you to sing with more passion this other line in the song, this no turning back, than even I Have Decided. And I remember as I was struggling years back, you know, what God wanted me to do in ministry. And I sat down and I talked to him one summer and I said, you know, Pastor, I said, this is what I feel like God's doing in my life. So he looked at me, he said, all right, what are you going? I mean, if I'm gonna go to a pastor for a lot of love and encouragement, this is not the guy that I'm gonna go to. I mean, this guy, he like us, doesn't have a choir loft in his church, but I laugh because he told the choir at his church, when they used to have this huge choir loft, he said, if y'all keep arguing, he said, this next church we're building, he said, I'm going to build it without a choir loft. I'll solve that problem. And he did. Like they kept arguing. So they started building the sanctuary, and there's offices behind where the choir loft should be, and everybody came in like, where's the choir loft? He said, I told you, you mess with me. I mean, it's just that guy. So I just remember having a conversation with this guy, and I said, Pastor, I don't know what to do next. He said, what you tell me right now. He said, you make a decision. Are you going to go into ministry or are you not? Are you going to love people? Are you going to spread the gospel or are you not? Yes. What do you say to that? And he looked at me and he said, you remember the song we used to sing? He said, you better not turn back. Joshua says here to these people, he says, your witness is against yourselves that you've chosen to serve the Lord. When we turn from God in our lives, if we make that choice, once we've given our life to Jesus Christ, you know, there's moments, if you've ever experienced it, maybe I'm just the only one, but there's moments I've experienced where just alone, it wasn't a message I heard, it wasn't what somebody told me to do, it was my own commitment that came back into my mind and my heart that said, you did this, you decided this, you said Jesus was Lord, but he's not Lord. And I have felt in me, in my spirit, that I was accountable to my own promise. You know, God brings us along through everything that we live through. But listen, folks, we are accountable to our commitment to Jesus Christ. There's no going back on that. We're accountable to that commitment. Then Joshua says this. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, in Joshua's time, the children of Israel were that was their description. They were God's people. Come on up. They were God's people. Now, here's the thing. Today, because of what Jesus Christ did for payment for our sins, if we have accepted Jesus as Savior, repented of our sins, the Bible says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You don't have to clean it up before you get close to God. In fact, I don't know that there's really a way that I've ever seen somebody convince me of that they were able to get their life in the correct order and remove themselves from sins without having first given their life to Jesus Christ for Him to work on. Because that's when we receive God's Spirit in us, when we get saved. But the Bible says that we're all sinners before salvation. And because of that sin, God didn't say, well, y'all just are dirty, filthy, nasty, unworthy people. He said, no, you know what? You're like that group. I love this because some of these games and stuff we play at camp, we just get nasty and dirty, right? Because we're not near anybody's mama. And if it looks bad enough, we got a washer and dryer there. We wash it before it ever gets home. You don't know what we did. I'm just kidding. But I love when we get in the middle of something. We play some kind of game. We're doing a big color war and stuff like that this summer at our kids' camp. And I'm loving just that idea that I'm going to be there for that. But I like when this huge group of kids just come up sometimes during the day, just as one big body, just sweaty and nasty and dirty. We don't look at them and go, whoa, you got to stay out of the chapel, y'all. Y'all are nasty. Y'all going to get this place dirty. Sometimes we just get them in then and just go, you know what, just come on in. Let's just worship God. Let's just be close to Him and feel that closeness. You know, in our sin, God didn't say, whoa, you got to clean this thing up. He says, no. While you're dirty, while you're that group of kids, individually, you and you, just please, I sent Jesus Christ to pay for all this sin. Accept His payment and do one thing. The Bible says, Romans 10:9-10, that if we believe in our hearts that Jesus died and was raised again from the grave, and we confess Jesus is Lord, confess means that we make this commitment that Joshua had brought people to that moment of decision. He says, look, if you'll make this commitment and Jesus is Lord, as it's been said a lot better than I could ever come up with it, Jesus is either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. He says, if you'll commit to Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, now we can start. Now we've got something to work with. Because you called on My name, you're saved. Romans 10:13, for those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is a decision. Now, we're getting ready to celebrate some people's decisions to follow Jesus. They're going to follow Him in baptism. The greatest thing about baptism is it preaches the gospel for us. But just to be clear, this morning, and we're getting ready to sing a song. We're going to sing, I Have Decided. And we're going to build up this song because it's worth worshiping and getting excited about. But in this moment, I'm not the speaker that Joshua was. I'm not qualified to lead the size group of people that Joshua was qualified to lead. But I got saved. When I was 9 years old. And for a lot of years since 9, I had a birthday yesterday, but we're not talking numbers right now. A lot of years since 9, I've made mistakes. And I've gotten far from God. And then He's shown me that I was far from Him. And He allowed me to repent and be forgiven of those sins and get closer to Him. If you know that you're here this morning without a relationship with God, through Jesus, because that's... Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I can't believe that He died for sin and then say He's wrong in another part. Like there's other options. But if you know that you're here this morning and you have not made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, last time we had baptism, we had people that received Christ that morning as Savior. Maybe that's your morning this morning. When we start this song, for the moments that we start this song, if you would like to say, you know what, I want to make that decision. I want to step forward. I'm going to wait up here at the altar. And if you'd like to pray with me about that, if you'd like to talk to me about that, that's fine. There's some other people here that would love to talk to you. In fact, there'll be a few that, if you know that you can lead somebody to Jesus Christ, and you're here and you're part of the church, I'd invite you to come up front for that opportunity. But if you want to receive Jesus Christ, it is that simple. Believing that Jesus paid for sin, that He didn't just die, but He rose again to give us new life in Him. And then if we confess that, if we pray to God and say, God, I understand this, I believe this, and Jesus Christ has my life, He's Lord. And I'm glad your expectation, God, is not for me to get this all perfect, that your love and your grace and your forgiveness will always be there for me. But I am committing to this. Then I would invite you to come up. If you've moved away from that commitment, maybe like the children of Israel, like I have many times, and you'd like to say, you know what, I want to make a move up to the altar, not because that's just where God is sitting, but because sometimes physically when we make a move, we feel that God is there and His presence is there. And I want to pray up front with somebody. We'd invite you to pray. If you say, you know what, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, I've made that decision, and I'm here to celebrate this morning and worship Him, then you've got a great opportunity in this song to worship Him. And I would invite you to do that, just forgetting everything else. Everything else but this. Would you stand with me as the praise band is going to come up front? We're going to sing this song. I'd like to pray with you before we go into this time of worship. And again, at these moments, I would invite you to come forward if that's how God is moving in your heart. God, thank you so much, Lord, for your love. God, for your mercy, your grace. God, all that you want to give us, Lord. Help us, God, to serve you faithfully. God, help these moments right now be moments that we understand. We can right now, God, do something for you in a way that honors you and honors what your word says, God. Lord, help us to realize that right now at this moment we are led to a decision. God, that the words that Joshua told the people, that if you're going to choose to follow God, then remove everything else that would find its place in front of Him. God, if there's just some of us here this morning that right now we just realize, God, clearly we have put something in front of you. God, help us realize right now that we can come and we can lay that down at your feet. Lord, to be forgiven, be restored. Lord, some of us, we put wrong relationships, sexual relationships that are outside marriage. We put lies. We put, Lord, just dishonesty and other priorities. Lord, as more of what our heart is about and what our lives are focused on, God, than just simply pursuing Jesus Christ. God, for some of us in this room, we're really struggling with this idea of, God, is pursuing Jesus on a day-to-day basis really even possible? Is it a real thing? God, I pray that we would ignore every opinion that we've ever been given but yours, God, and just let you speak right now. Lord, I pray that our decision, God, I pray that my decision today would be more firm and more committed to, that I have decided to follow Jesus, God, and that turning back is no longer an option. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.